Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here again today to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. We continue with Animals and Human Beings, questions 605 to 607.
Enjoy.
Question 605. If we considered all the points of contact between humans and animals, mightn't we believe that humans possess two souls, an animal soul and a spiritual soul, and that if they did not have the latter, they would live only as animals? In other words, isn't the animal a being similar to the human minus the spiritual soul? If so, wouldn't it follow that the good and evil instincts of humans would be the effect of the predominance of one or other of these two souls?
No, humans do not have two souls, but the body has its instincts, which results from the sensations of its organs. There is nothing in humans except a dual nature, the animal nature and the spiritual nature. Through their body and instincts, they participate in the nature and instincts of animals. Through their soul, they participate in the nature of spirits.
Subquestion 605. Thus, besides getting rid of its own imperfections, must the spirit also struggle against the influence of matter?
Yes, the less evolved it is, the tighter are the bonds between the spirit and matter. Can't you see that? No, humans do not have two souls. The soul is always one in each individual. The soul of animals and that of humans are so very different from each other that the soul of one cannot animate the body created for the other. But if humans do not possess an animal soul, whose passion would place it on the level of the animals, they nonetheless have an animal body, which often drags them down to that level, a body endowed with vitality, but unintelligent and possessed of the limited instincts required for its self-preservation.
Author's remarks for question 605. When a spirit incarnates into a human body, it transmits to it the intellectual and moral principle that places it on a higher order than the animals. The two natures in humans give two distinct sources to their passions. Some spring from the instincts of nature, others from the impurities of the incarnate spirit, which sympathizes to a greater or lesser degree with the baseness of the animal appetites. In purifying itself, a spirit frees itself from the influence of matter little by little. Under such influence, it approaches the animals. Freed from such influence, it rises towards its true destiny. Question 606. Where do the animals get the intelligent principle that comprises the particular kind of soul with which they are endowed?
From the universal intelligent element.
Subquestion 606. Then the intelligence of both humans and animals emanates from a single principle.
Of course, but in humans it goes through a development that elevates it above that of the animals.
Question 607. It has been stated that the human soul at its origin resembles the state of human infancy in the corporeal life, that its intelligence is only beginning to unfold, and that it is preparing itself for life. See question number 190. Where does the soul accomplish this primary phase?
In a series of existences preceding the period you call humanity.
Subquestion 607A. Then it would seem that the soul had been the intelligent principle of the lower beings of creation, correct?
Haven't we stated that everything in nature is linked together and tends towards unity? It is in those beings whom you are far from knowing about entirely, that the intelligent principle is developed, is gradually individualized, and is prepared for life, as we have stated. In a certain way, it is a preparatory work like that of germination, after which the intelligent principle undergoes a transformation and becomes a spirit. It is then that the period of humanity begins for it, and with it the consciousness of its future, the distinction between good and evil, and the responsibility for its acts. The same way that childhood comes before adolescence, then youth, and finally adulthood. There is nothing humiliating about this origin. Do the greatest geniuses feel humiliated at having been shapeless fetuses in the material womb? If anything ought to humiliate them, it is their low status before God and their powerlessness to probe the depths of the divine designs and the wisdom of the laws regulating the harmony of the universe. Strive to realize the greatness of God in the admirable harmony that establishes the solidarity of all things in nature. To believe that God could have made anything without a purpose and have created intelligent beings without a future would be to blaspheme God's goodness, which extends over all creatures.
Sub-question 607b. Does this period of humanity begin on Earth?
The Earth is not the starting point of a human's first incarnation. The period of humanness usually begins on worlds less evolved. This, however, is not an absolute rule, and it may happen that a spirit at its human beginning may be suited to live on the Earth. Such a case is not frequent and would be an exception rather than a rule.